Welcome to Afternoon Tea with Richard Wiseman, with me, Richard Wiseman. In this episode, I chat with magician John Vanderput, who is up at the Edinburgh Festival with his show Piftacular. When he's not presenting that, he runs the theatre company Stand Not Amazed, which aims to put the art into artifice. Over tea and cakes, we spoke about magic as performing art, his new chihuahua, and his psychological need to dress up as a giant green dragon. John, thank you very much.
No problem.
For coming along and having afternoon tea. And we're joined by a member of your cast here.
Yes, this is Piffalicious.
Piffalicious.
A little piffy.
Who is a very gorgeous chihuahua.
Yeah, he's 2 years old. Got him yesterday.
Very good. And what role does little Piffy play in the show?
I drag him. He goes for a flaming hue of death. I'll cover his ears. He doesn't notice it.
No.
It's all right.
No, doesn't suspect a thing.
You do the accounts. You can do the accounts. No problem.
Now, dogs on stage,
yeah.
Pro, anti, how do you feel about them?
I'm definitely anti.
Yeah.
You know, I bring them on, I'm like, you shouldn't be here. You're not getting fed tonight because you come on again. Go home.
So are you having a good fringe?
I'm having a really good fringe, yeah. Like, the audiences are really responding to it, and the press has seemed to go for it, and it's all good, really.
And for anyone who doesn't know, you do dress up as a large green dragon called Piff.
I'm associated with a large green dragon. Dressing up is quite a strong word. You'll never see us together, I'll give you that.
Is dressing up the wrong word? Or the wrong words?
Right. Inhabiting, I feel.
Inhabiting a large green outfit that looks like very much like a dragon.
He is a dragon.
Yeah.
I know you're quite sceptical about all the mythical things, but
right.
You know, actually, like, he is...
He's actually a dragon.
A genuine mythical dragon.
And was that your idea?
Apparently, yeah. No, I've ripped it off from this other act. Poff, have you not seen him? He does this trapeze thing of like, it's so lame. You put that on the floor, did magic, bang, you're in. So, yeah.
And what was the thinking behind Piff? So I think Piff's very clever, for reasons
right.
I'll talk about after you've spoken about it, so
yes.
I can lift some material from that and pretend it was mine. But,
okay.
Yeah.
So you want me to come out with my material first?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Then I'll go, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, so the reason... Because I love magic and I hate magic.
Okay.
And I really love magic and I really, really hate magic. And I cannot stand... I'm not a natural show-off. That's the last thing I am, really. I'm quite self-conscious. And I don't like being centre of attention.
Hmm.
Which is an obvious
choice of career.
It's an obvious choice of career. But equally, there's a part of me that obviously is like a little puppy dog going, I want to please people. So I don't, you know, I've spent like 10 years doing close-up magic, and I would hate going to parties and having to like be the life and soul of a party. But equally, I would love like doing little spots, little table, you know, tables doing 6 minutes. So anyway, that's my kind of love-hate thing with magic. But with Piff, there is no way for a grown man to be like able to, you know, to be there going, I have magic powers. So I choose to do card tricks.
Mm.
That doesn't work.
Okay.
You know, you can't go bang the four of diamonds and I'm amazing and I know what you're thinking, ladies. You know, it's just like, and you see people do it all the time and it's just like the most horrendous and embarrassing thing. And you're there going, no, you don't have magic powers and actually you just have a bit too much time on your own and actually you don't have as much social skills as everyone else.
So you thought, I know, I'll dress up as a big green dragon. Not dress up. I will
inhabit. Thank you.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Honestly. So basically it's a way for me to be able to do magic and go, oh yes, you know, look how amazing I am because I look so ridiculous. Basically, I look as ridiculous as when I'm on the outside when I'm doing Piff as I feel on the inside when I'm doing normal magic. It's essentially what I'm doing. And again, this is how stupid I feel, you know, pretending that I can like actually have special powers.
Right.
Yeah.
So Piff is a physical manifestation of how you feel you're dressed
yeah,
and doing normal.
In a neuroses, yeah, essentially,
right.
Yeah.
And do you explain that to the audience?
No. It's
no.
Pretty obvious, really. I think, really.
And when you get into character with Piff,
yeah.
Is it one of those whole acting, 45 minutes locking yourself away, think dragon?
It's about 12 hours, usually. I should be warming up. I'm actually just starting to get into the zone now, you know. No, my chihuahua just stares at me and he goes, be the Piff. Be the Piff. Like, no food for you. I just got two treats.
Right.
Aside.
Okay.
If he's here.
Yeah,
Piffalicious.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to see whether you can hear the sound of treats. Hear the treats. No
response at all.
Bastard.
Yeah, I think he's asleep.
Okay, this is not going to make
it
to the
show. Well,
right, that's cut. Okay, man. Right, I'm eating biscuits now.
Now, go for them, yeah.
Okay, now listen, today we've got pink biscuits.
Yeah. Now, at your request.
Yeah, at my request. I did give you a choice.
Yeah.
I offered you three non-branded biscuits.
Is this going to turn into a prediction effect?
I'm no.
Be really, all right.
No, I'm not going to do magic. So, who did you book? Book somebody who likes it if you want that. No, listen. You went for the non-branded side of my scale.
Absolutely.
I admire very much.
Yep.
And the pink ones are definitely the optimum side of that.
Really?
And these are slightly off-pink, though.
Now, everyone else I've asked for the podcast only came back with the one choice of biscuit. You came back with six, I think.
Yeah, I'm professional.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand biscuits.
Are they nice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Good. I see.
This is like a salmon pink.
Yeah.
So like meeting like a biscuit fish.
So you did close up, proper close up for a while, standard close up.
5 years.
5 years. Mm. And then I'm interested in this tradition.
That's a job. That's all I was doing.
That's all you did, professionally.
I don't know, yeah. But anyway, I was, yeah.
And how did you move from that to the Stand Not Amazed stuff?
Basically, it's not a real. Okay, for me, because, you know, everyone else can do what they want, but for me, I don't feel it's a real performance. You know, it's a service. It's like being a sandwich. You know, you book a magician, you book your canapes. That's basically it. You're the level of, like, one of those little vol-au-vents. That's what you are, you know, but with card tricks. That's what I felt for me. Because you're dispensable, and you can book a magician, you know. It's like you book a sandwich, but a magician. And it's just not, like, it's not real. I was like, this isn't what I want to do. I want to perform for a living, and I'm not performing, really. You know, I'm serving, and I'm kind of, you know, getting defeated by a woman with a canapé tray when she comes in and, like, yeah. So, and the other person I spoke to who was really important to me was Jeffrey Durham, who just said to me, get out, you know, just get out. You can give one piece of advice, get out as quickly as you can.
He'd seen your act and advised you just to get out.
Yeah, he essentially, I'd done the whole thing and he was just like,
get out. Leave. First of all, what are you doing in my living room?
He was. I was like, Jeffrey. I was just talking to him about just doing close-up magic. And he was saying, get into, you know, if I give you one piece of advice, get out of close-up magic itself. You know, just do something else.
But look at the website, the Stand Not Amazed website.
It's a bit old, I haven't updated it.
It's nice, it's nice looking. And you have this, you know, putting the art back into artifice, which is a nice phrase.
Yeah, putting the art back into wanker. Yeah, that's the other one we use a lot.
But what is the what's the concept behind it? What are you trying to do with it?
Concept, I believe, is that when magic is happening as on the stage, when magic is happening to you, it's beautiful. You know, when magic is happening against the audience, it's quite confrontational. Which is not to say it's a bad thing, because, you know, that's just another dynamic. But for me, I'm much more interested as a writer, as a in theatre maker, I'm much more interested in you know, what happens to people. Over the last year, I've changed my thinking quite a bit and realised it's much more about creating an image. Like, I was quite inspired by this Michael Craig Martin piece, who's a visual artist, and I think it's in the Tate, I think it was in about the 70s or 60s, I can't remember, and it's called The Oak Tree, and it's a glass of water on a shelf. This is an oak tree, and it's got this text down the side. And that's what we're, you know, he's there going, that isn't, but it is, you know. So there's a moment where I talk about this girl who moves in, and, like, you know, a girlfriend who moves in, and over time, like, her stuff starts taking over the flat, and suddenly drawers are full of socks, and, you know, like, drawers are full of linen and towels, and, you know, you've got nowhere to, you've only got half a cupboard now. And we do that along with a trick called Multum in Parvo, which is a small milk to big milk, and it all increases or whatever. So it's just the idea of pointing a little bit, and as you're saying this speech about how she's taking over your life, then the milk is obviously increasing, and it's overflowing. So, you know, it's just that connecting, and, you know, they're completely, what's the word, distinct, or separate,
yeah.
But, like, it connects somehow.
And when you look at those pieces, I mean, like the cigarette production piece, which is on the website, so right. I can look at that. As an audience member, is that there's that kind of tension of, I'm looking at something which is quite beautiful and movement-based and dance-based, but then I'm seeing some magic, and is there that kind of threat of rationality kicking in? How's that? Where did that handkerchief, where did that cigarette come from?
Only when we do poorly. Only when we flash a method, basically. If somebody sees a cigarette hidden, they'll start watching for the next one. If somebody doesn't, our experience is they're swept away by it, you know, and they just don't question it, which is the one thing that I was aiming for from the start was that nobody's in there going, how does this work? How do you do this?
And what's the difference between that and, you know, I don't know, Siegfried and Roy as a silent...
The illusionist that I used to... Because I hated Magic as a kid. Couldn't stand it. And I used to think people were running around pointing at boxes, you know, sort of like a glorified life in addiction stock room. You know, it was just weird. It's just like... And then they go, look at the box. And then this thing was happening and a woman jumped out and they go, yeah. And you'd be like, you did nothing. You just pointed at a box and turned it round. It's like... And that's how I feel about assistants, you know. It is a crime to call, you know, these the other half of your act an assistant, you know. And I've almost had to punch people who've like come up to me in conventions and gone, are these your assistants, to Alexis and Maya, because they're just doing most of it more work than I am. You know, and they're performers and they're actors and they're, you know, well, one of the things I'm proudest of in the pieces that we've done is a version of the zigzag, you know, the Harbin zigzag. And Alexis is inside the zigzag singing a Nina Simone song called I Shall Be Released. It's all about the men who put her in boxes and all this sort of stuff. And as she's doing that, I'm looking really bored and putting their blades in and putting them apart and smoking and all this kind of stuff. And when we get to the end of that, she comes out of the box, all of the applause, and massive like wave of applause, all the applause is for her, you know, because she has overcome, you know, whatever I'm messing around doing, you know. I'm putting the blades in, I'm the one, she's overcome me rather than me, look what I did. You know, and I just think that's the way. You know, I just think, well, for me certainly.
And given all that experience putting stuff together, how would you want to see magic kind of develop differently?
I just think we just need to get rid of the ego. It is just wrong. You know, art doesn't work with ego unless you're a genius. You know, like Picasso is a genius. Don't know, I never met the guy. A bit late now.
But you heard.
I heard. Yeah. You know, but like, if you're a genius, then fine. Be, you know, have an ego. But there are so many magicians, and the problem is because this, it comes from doing close-up magic. You go to close-up magic, and I do this myself, and you do a card in front of people, and they're just blown away. They're like, oh my god, you're the best we've ever seen, this is incredible. And you just start going, maybe I am. Maybe I'm an amazing magician. You know, and then that's taken in, because you have that in such close proximity all the time, you know, you just start going, yeah, I'm amazing. And it's like, we're not, you know.
So, in terms of magic, who's been the greatest influence? You mentioned Jeff Durham earlier on.
Yeah, so. I think Jeff Durham, I think he's got that. He had no fear. I said to him, because he was just like, I said 2 years from now, I'm not never going to do The Great Soprano again. And then I said 2 years from now, I'm never going to do magic, you know, Jeffrey Durham magician. And he just does it. I was just saying, what? Do you not have any fear? You know, and I think he does. And I think he just, you know, he's just courageous. In that he just kind of goes through it. I grew up, I was inspired to do magic by Jerry Sadowitz, you know, on Stuff the White Rabbit. That was like, you know, John Lenahan, I loved John Lenahan as well, I loved that show. And then, but it was Jerry Sadowitz, I was like, what is he doing with playing cards? You know, how is he getting them to do that?
So it's more technique than his presentation.
Yeah, definitely. It was all about, like, what is he going, yeah. And then I learned, and then I also loved Guy Hollingworth, you know, like, I think he's like, I mean, you just can't compete with that, he's just like on a different level, you know, of performance. And again, that's all technique, and that's where I was. And then I kind of like, I was in hospital and somebody went, you know, they were like, not long for you, and I was thinking, why am I doing card tricks? You know, I'm not even talking to my audience, I'm just like, telling them to look down.
Are you serious about the experience that you're in hospital and
yeah.
Right, okay.
And I was practicing card tricks at the time, and somebody went, you know, I think I overheard them, and they said something, and I was just like, what am I doing? Because the only connection I have to the audience is looking down here. So it's not even a real connection. You know, you could have this image and put it in different hands. You know, like put in a whole different. I hate showreels when they start showing you they're just their hands doing card tricks. It's like, what? You know, what's going on? It's like showing me the fridge opens. It's like I know, you know. And so I just had that and I went, that's it. Done, you know.
And that was the moment of moving away.
That was the moment of going, it has to be more than the tricks, you know. That's about otherwise, like, what's the point?
Yeah. And I also want to ask about a book that you think everyone should read or something that's in.
Well, I've thought about this. There are so many books. You know,
there's loads out there. You go to any shop, full.
I know. I found a shop that had like 12 books in the other day, and I was just like, seriously? I was like, that's it, I'm done. But I was thinking about this, I just love books. I spend all my time reading. So it was a bit difficult, but I did think this morning there's an amazing book by Paul Auster which helped me a lot because I love him. He's one of my favourite authors, and he wrote this book called Hand to Mouth about, you know, he didn't like do anything really until he was like 31, and he was like translating French and doing French poetry or something in some village in France, and it's just amazing, like stoicism, you know, which I think as a, you know, I think that's quite a common thread in a lot of artists' career, you know, just that in the face of it you just keep ploughing on, bang bang bang, and that is you learning. But I'm happy to keep working for 10 years and then, you know, wherever it is, be ready.
So that's interesting. So that difference between that kind of instant gratification of wanting to get out there and be a success immediately overnight versus anything, the art, the process of art, it takes time.
Yeah, you've got to learn your technique, you know, and the technique is not the card tricks, you know. The technique is knowing what the audience wants to do.
So Piffy here is looking looking terrified, actually.
Yes, I am, Richard.
Yeah. Was that you?
And it's a dog.
Okay, sounds good. So
you don't know that. Do you want to redo this now that you know you're a dog? Should I say that at the beginning?
I had no idea.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you're up for the whole festival?
Whole festival till the 30th.
Okay.
6 p.m. at the Hive.
The Hive,
which is on Nidri Street.
Okay, so that's
just
in
Romar,
Old Town, right? Yeah, very good. Is it going well?
It's going really well.
Good numbers.
Really, really well. Really good numbers. We're doing it with Free Fringe, which is getting us a lot of attention, and like we're doing it for the Credit Crunch. Yeah, not the 17th of August.
Not the 17th,
which is Monday.
Okay, you send the Piff outfit for dry cleaning on the 17th.
No, never dry clean the Piff. We lost one that way.
That's your big piece of advice in magic. Never dry clean the Piff.
Never dry clean the Piff, yeah. Or Piffalicious.
No. That'd be wrong.
But funny.
John, thank you very much indeed.
No problem, thank you.